welcome to episode 5 of the You Matter podcast series with Noonday Collection. I'm Whitney Ray, and I am honored to share with you today's content. We have Tamara Akilu, and she's going to share about what it means to be an empowered woman in Ethiopia and more about one of the groups we partner with there. It's a very educational episode, and I encourage you to listen in with an open heart and mind. Then at the end, we'll hear from Brooke Van Groningen. She's going to share about how she's used her place of empowerment to impact her community. As always, from these episodes, we want you to walk away knowing that you matter. And you matter for many reasons, but one is because you are an educator. You go out to shows every day, of course, styling and selling, but you're also educating. We want you to feel equipped to educate well, and that's what today's episode is all about. As a reminder, the You Matter podcast series was created to communicate to ambassadors how you matter and connect you with the stories of impact happening because of you. Without ambassadors, Noonday wouldn't exist. And you may have noticed we've hashtagged You Matter. We did that because we want this to be a conversation. So go over to the Noonday Facebook wall and you'll see lots of comments with the hashtag You Matter. One that I chose to share on today's episode is from Joanna. After listening to episode 3 with Jessica Honegger, she shared this to pump us up for the fall launch. And we're live. Let's hustle, ladies. Remember your why and be brave and strong and passionate and beautiful. You are the most perfect ambassador for your customers. You are an expert and a stylist, and this is your place. You belong. You matter. That's right, Joanna. Thank you for your passion and your encouragement. And because we know that your time matters, I want to make sure you're reading your latest issues of Allume. In the most latest issue, Katie McCauley shared the impact that each ambassador is having through your fall launch trunk shows. I absolutely love seeing what was on the top seller list for launch week. No surprise, Golden Rivers is on that list. And I hope you noticed that over half the countries we partner with are on the top selling list. This is great news because if you've listened in to Travis and Jessica's latest quarterly business review call, you will hear how important it is to keep our impact going. If you haven't listened yet, you can find the recording on Bloomfire by searching Q2. If you didn't have a launch show, don't worry. Keep asking and keep looking for the right hostess to partner with, and you will find it. It only takes one, and then you have the opportunity to book shows at your shows and reach into new networks. Now it's time to hear from Tamara Akilu, Noonday's manager of production and sourcing for Latin America and Africa. She'll share with us a little bit more about Imnit's group in Ethiopia. In previous seasons, they made the Amara scarf, and now they're creating jewelry such as the Desert Rope necklace, the Ibrahim necklace, and the Addis bracelet. The women in this group come out of Alilta's Women at Risk program. This program trains women emerging from vulnerable situations, including prostitution, and that it connects them with a job. Tamara has lived for many years in Ethiopia and is able to take us on a journey into what it means to be an Ethiopian woman in Addis Ababa. She will share with us what it means to be empowered and what we can do with the empowerment we have as ambassadors.
My name is Tamara Akilu, and we're here talking about women's empowerment today. So, when I think of women's empowerment, one of the artisan businesses that I think of first is Alilta. Most of you know Alilta because of the Amhara scarf. In the past, we've been ordering that black and white scarf that has been so popular. And some of you may have heard now that they're expanding into jewelry. So, what Alilta does is they provide training, counseling, and empowerment for vulnerable women in Ethiopia. And what they do best is women's empowerment. They provide 4-month-long skills training in weaving, cooking, and other skills. And now they're moving into jewelry, which is really exciting for them and for us. It's such a blessing to be able to have another partner in metal jewelry in Ethiopia. And to really understand women's empowerment, I think we have to understand what it means to be disempowered. So what it means to be a woman in Ethiopia really means, for the most part, for most women, disempowerment. I tried to understand what it means to be an Ethiopian woman. I lived there for 6 years, and especially in the first couple of years, I tried really hard to live in solidarity and to live like an average middle or lower class girl. I tried to understand what this disempowerment thing was all about, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't live like a regular Ethiopian girl. It wasn't because I wasn't willing. I lived with an older Ethiopian widow in a typical Ethiopian home, and I lived in a part of town known for its poverty and crime and its really high levels of leprosy and HIV. And we just lived a typical life. We cooked our food on a small propane camping stove, and we made our coffee in the clay pot in the outdoor kitchen. A lot of you may have seen that either in pictures or have experienced it if you have adopted children from Ethiopia or have gone there for other reasons. So trying to live a typical life of an Ethiopian girl, I thought that living in relative poverty or living simply would help me understand the life of an Ethiopian girl. So I avoided eating out. I tried living on a steady diet of lentils, chickpeas, coffee. We drank lots of coffee. And I tried to dress like a conservative Ethiopian girl for the first couple of years. But it didn't mean I was actually experiencing the life of an Ethiopian girl, because I'm empowered. And it's very hard to take that away. I could cover my head. I could look down and pretend to be shy like the Ethiopian girls, but I would be pretending. I would try to come home by sunset and make injera like a dutiful girl, but that would be a choice for me. Everything that I would give up would be a choice. But it's not a choice for most Ethiopian girls and women. And I think that's the key to disempowerment. Disempowerment feels like not having choices. Well, poverty is disempowering because it limits your choice. You don't have a choice of where to live. You have to choose to either take the bus or eat lunch at the market, not both. You're constantly making these choices that we don't even think about in the States. If your family's poor and your parents' choices are limited, then your choices are even more limited. So your parents have to choose which child they're going to send to school. And if your family can afford to send you to school, then they have to decide if they can afford you to send you to a more expensive school where they don't beat the students and where the teachers are accountable to actually teaching you something, or to the public school. So your parents probably feel pressure from friends, relatives, and the community to shelter you and to ensure that you're a good girl. If you live in the countryside, your parents might choose to marry you off quickly when you're young because they can rest knowing that your husband will provide for you. If you and your parents are relatively disempowered, then you as a girl are even more so. You really have little choice of where you're going to go, what time you'll be home, what you'll do, who you'll talk to, who you'll marry, who you'll sleep with, and how you'll have your children. Those things aren't really up to you. Lower class girls in the city grow up with few options as well. They carry wood or hawk things on the street to help out their families. Girls in the countryside sometimes make the bold choice to run away from an early marriage or abusive family situations. Sometimes there's sexual abuse or rape. Sometimes there's physical abuse by a stepfather. That's a very, very common reason that girls give for why they run to the city, why they come to Addis Ababa on their own. So when they come to the city, they find themselves in the same situation as the lower class girls in the city. There's no jobs, and again, few choices. It's so disheartening to think that you're running away to a better life, only to find that you're still disempowered by the lack of choices. The middle and upper class girls in Ethiopia are really grateful for just having a dry roof over their heads, being able to go to school, and especially to have food every day. And the way you show your gratefulness in Ethiopia, if you're a good girl, is to not cause trouble, not rock the boat, work hard in your house, always obey your older family members, come home by dark, really uphold the family's honor, always really appear humble, not speaking unless spoken to. Don't assume that anyone wants to hear your opinions. Just keep quiet unless someone asks you. Putting everyone above yourself and never, never talking about what you need or what you want. That's the typical life of an Ethiopian girl, and that's what you do if you want to be seen as a good girl. So if you're a girl in Ethiopia, life is really set up for you. Whether you're lower class or middle class, whether you live in the city or you live in the countryside, whether you have family or you've run away and branched out on your own, you really don't have the luxury of making your major life choices. So this kind of disempowerment makes a girl so vulnerable. It's something that most of us have never experienced, this level of vulnerability. The less money, education, or support you have, the fewer your choices you have. If you come to the city to find work, or you've broken away from your family because of dysfunctional family situations, you're very, very vulnerable. And most of those girls have never made a choice for themselves. They don't always know what they want, and they don't always feel like they have a choice to speak up. So you can imagine, if you've never said no before, you've never said no to anyone before, you're very, very vulnerable. When a man offers you a warm place to sleep or some food in exchange for being a compliant girl, doing what he wants, you're very vulnerable. When you find yourself pregnant, of course, you're very, very vulnerable. You don't have a lot of choices. You might make the choice to go into the life of prostitution, or you might choose to leave your child on the doorstep of the government orphanage in order to not have to go into prostitution, and in hopes of educating yourself or doing something with your life. That's the choice that girls are making every day in Addis Ababa and around the world. Some girls find themselves on the street having to prostitute because of the brave choice that they've already made to keep their child when they were kicked out of their homes. That's also very, very common. Because of the conservative nature of the culture and the stigma, when girls get pregnant out of wedlock, they're not accepted by their families anymore. So let's talk about prostitution in Ethiopia. We know there are about 150,000 prostitutes working in Addis Ababa. That's Ethiopia's capital. About 74% of them are estimated to be HIV positive. The young, beautiful girls earn about 100 birr per trick, which is about $5. And the older women living in the slums can earn as little as 5 or 10 birr, which is maybe 50 cents. They don't necessarily dress differently than other women, except that they usually don't clutch their scarf tightly when they walk down the street. They don't walk purposefully on Addis Ababa streets. They can be seen kind of standing around, sitting outside after dark. Being outside after dark means you're probably a prostitute. And especially if you look open to people passing by, if you're really open and friendly, that shows that you're open to all kinds of things. So Jessica has mentioned the red light district. She really connected with that area when she drove through and had strong passion to do something for the women and girls that she saw there. There's actually more than one area that can be considered a red light district in Addis Ababa. Basically, any place with a row of bars are considered prostitution zone. So there's Kachenya, Kasanchi's, a couple different pockets in the dark back streets of Piazza where there are a bunch of bars in a row. Anywhere there's poverty and anywhere there's a bar. Any girl who's working in a bar is most definitely a prostitute in Addis Ababa. Because of the really conservative culture that women in Ethiopia are a part of, they're extremely stigmatized and highly judged if they do go into commercial sex work. They really feel disgusting, many of them describe themselves during that time of their lives as feeling like hyenas, because hyenas go around at night, eat trash, and are the most disgusting, loathsome animal in Ethiopian culture. So commercial sex work in Addis can be similar yet different to the type of prostitution in other parts of the world. Unlike other parts of the world, pimps are extremely rare. Women are not held captive in brothels. They are held captive by their circumstances. And the women are not trafficked, per se. When trafficking happens, it's usually in the form of luring women to Arab countries with the promise of like a housekeeping job or some job in another Arab country. But in Ethiopia, there's not that much trafficking. So some people say that women who resort to commercial sex work in Ethiopia do so by choice, quote unquote choice. But what we've learned is that the choices of Ethiopian girls can hardly be described as choices because of disempowerment. Due to cultural circumstances, girls in Ethiopia are already disempowered. They start out with few options. Even at a young age, they're relatively disempowered. They start with few options, opportunities to exercise their own will or make choices, and then this leads to greater vulnerability. They're forced to choose the lesser of evils, which narrows their choices until they've whittled them down to really no choice at all. That's why I say they're captive to circumstances. But dignified work sets women up in a position to be able to make real choices about their bodies, about their babies, what they'll do with their lives. And once they begin to make their own choices in those areas, then they begin to be able to form opinions on so many other things and speak up for what they need. They begin to have a voice again. So what Alulta is doing is nothing short of a miracle. It's really amazing. They do counseling, group therapy, education, spiritual healing. But what I've found is that all of those things are very helpful, but they can't really change the dynamics of the choices that women make when they're between a rock and a hard place. If you've been through counseling, it just means that you understand right and wrong. It doesn't mean that you can actually do it. Sometimes the choices that you make are based on the better of two evils. And sometimes these types of counseling and education can serve to make people feel even worse about the choices that they've made. But in Ethiopia especially, offering women a job sets them up on a fair playing field to be able to make a real choice. And that's what every girl wants. Obviously, when given a real option, they want to be clean, whole, they want to be strong, they want to be pure, they want to be everything that they were made to be. So Alulta Products is offering this training and dignified work for vulnerable women. In this context, that's really amazing. Noonday's partnership with Alulta and especially the expansion into jewelry is creating more jobs for women. It's really opening options and allowing for empowerment so that women are regaining their confidence and their voice, gaining back their freedom of choice and ability to exercise their will. After they have jobs, they're going even further and becoming more empowered even than the average Ethiopian girl or woman, and beginning to speak up for themselves and think outside of the box. Think about ways that they've been maybe oppressed or kept down because of simply being female in that culture. So this kind of work also contributes to the community, the whole community, in a lot of different ways. The whole community benefits from the example of a strong woman. The cycle of disempowerment is also slowly breaking as the daughters of these women are growing up with more options, relatively better education, and a lot more competence. The women are not raising their daughters the same way that they were raised. And the women are spending money in the community on food and goods that can stimulate grassroots local economies. So being able to make these kind of choices, even about what they buy, where they go, and what they do, is power. When I lived in Addis, my host mom would always say I was a good Ethiopian boy, but I was a terrible Ethiopian girl. My Amharic was good, and I could like stand up to anyone, argue with people for my rights, even police officers or taxi drivers. And I knew where to find products and what offices to go to. So I was really, really different from other Ethiopian girls in that way. But I would always forget to be a good girl and come home before dark. But these Ethiopian women now are getting to that level of empowerment where they can go around town confidently, where they can talk to people confidently and be a different kind of woman. So in Ethiopia, when a woman does something bold or brave or confident, people say, "Wendino." They say, "She's a male." And that used to always make me so mad. I'm like, "No, she's not a male. She's a strong female." And I'm really excited when I see the Olotsa women becoming more and more strong females that are just as empowered as any man. She knows she's empowered, and she knows that she has rights. I don't know. I discovered that I would never be able to be an Ethiopian woman just because I can't take away the empowerment that I already have. I can't erase my education. But I've thought a lot about what I can do as an empowered woman. And I think that connects with ambassadors in the States. What you can do as someone who's already empowered is use that empowerment in a lot of different ways. So you have the choice of where you're going to go, what you're going to do, what you're going to eat, what you buy, even what career you go into, who you'll marry, who you spend time with, what you say and do, what you say to people you disagree with, what you want to stand up for. And so we have these options to stand up for those girls that are disempowered. We have options to use our money in positive ways, especially buying fair trade products. We have the power to buy and sell and promote fair trade. And we have the choice to use our empowerment to lift others up, or we could squander it away on ourselves. It would be such a waste if we took all this education and empowerment that we have been given and basically did nothing with it. I guess that's when it turns into entitlement, when we feel we deserve so many different things just simply because of our circumstances. Really, if we live empowered, it's different from entitlement in that it's not arrogant. It's using the choices and the options and opportunities that we have, not only for ourselves, but also for others. Not only to demand what is comfortable and nice for us, but to use that power to support others. And as women in Ethiopia are becoming more empowered, we are becoming less entitled, less arrogant, more humble, and even a little bit more towards the Ethiopian side, because we do have a lot to learn from these girls. The way they put others above themselves, the way they put their children above themselves, the way they serve their families, it's really inspirational. Their level of humility, sometimes we don't understand that kind of humility, but I think we could all use a dose of humility and start to begin to at least use our power to serve others rather than allowing ourselves to become entitled and using our power only for ourselves. So I just want to encourage you to really appreciate the empowerment that you have, because it's nothing that you've ever done. You were just born in the right place to be so amazingly empowered, to be given choices and options in your life. And we can use those things to empower others. So I want to say thank you to all the ambassadors who live differently, who live empowered lives, and who use their empowerment for the good of women around the world. I know that you are doing these things out of selflessness and becoming daily more humble, more serving, more loving as you give up things. I know daily you give up a little bit of time with your children, with your husband sometimes, and I know you're lugging jewelry around town. It's a lot of hard work. It is sacrifice. And in that way, you're living really differently than other women in the States. Of course, there's lots of ways to serve people in the world, and a lot of other women are doing things differently. But I know for sure that ambassadors are spending their time in ways that really reflect this understanding of what it means to be part of a global world and a global sisterhood. And it really shows a lot of compassion and solidarity with these women around the world who are less empowered. So thank you for your time, for your energy, and for your passion.
Thank you so much, Tamara. Thank you for walking us through the realities facing women in Ethiopia. I'm going to always remember how you said that empowering women with dignified jobs sets up a fair playing field to make real choices. It makes me think, what choices am I making as an empowered woman? You know, how can I use my empowerment with humility to empower others? I would love to hear your thoughts on this over on the main Facebook wall. You know, this is what our tribe is for, to process through these types of questions together. So please do that over on the Facebook wall. If you want, you can hashtag YouMatter. Now, let me introduce you to Brooke. She's no stranger in the Noonday community with her beautiful Instagram pictures and styling. And she herself stepped up and really used her place as an empowered woman to make a difference in her community. On Facebook, you may have seen how she reached out and initiated a St. Louis-wide meetup with Jessica Honegger. This went beyond the average ambassador meetup. This was a way to bring a little bit of shine to the Noonday community in St. Louis. And when I say Noonday community, it meant every ambassador and many hostesses and customers. I asked her to share a little bit more about this meetup so you could hear it firsthand from Brooke.
Hey y'all, my name is Brooke Van Groningen, and recently I reached out to Jessica to come to St. Louis and to meet some of my Rockstar hostesses, and didn't expect her to say yes, but she said yes. And 3 weeks later, she came to St. Louis. In between then, I went to Guatemala with Noonday, and I don't know what I did to myself. I did not think she was going to say yes, so I didn't think about the craziness that would come from it, but it was totally worth it. I have always dreamed of a big event in St. Louis after Shine. At Shine, I just came home so empowered for my community to feel the worth of a woman that I felt when I was at Shine. I had never heard anyone speak on identity and self-worth like Jessica did at Shine, and I encourage everyone to listen to that if you haven't already. So I just really wanted Jessica to come and to give that speech to the women here in St. Louis and to help make Noonday so much more real to them and bigger than themselves. And I actually was homeschooled all the way up until 10th grade and was very shy. But in high school, I ended up making great friends. I was terrified that no one would like me. Shameless plug, I ended up being homecoming queen. And I think that's just God's way of saying, here, I told you that I have you in my hands and I love you and others do as well. For a while, I was really ashamed of just everyone liking me and just always having a smile on my face and being positive. But through my life, I've had brain surgery and a lot of other surgeries, and I have just had to rely on the Lord fully for everything. I was just so excited when Noonday came into my life because it brought together so many things from my background, and it really allowed me to combine my passion for the Lord and for others and those overseas, and my love for fashion and for women. I love my girlfriends. I love getting together with them, but never really knew how to combine all three of those together. So when Noonday came into my life, it was perfect. And so this event was really we were able to highlight how we are all better together. I was able to put this on with our local ambassadors, and Amanda Roberts and Jessica Hartman helped me plan it, and we put it on with the other fellow area ambassadors. We have heard so much feedback on how people felt empowered when they left, and they were encouraged and how much they needed to hear what Jessica had to say that night. I just encourage all of you guys to tap into your customer base. So many women out there need to know that they are beautiful and they're loved. And we have such an incredible opportunity as ambassadors to do that. And Noonday is so much bigger than jewelry, and we get to be that voice. So that's what I loved about our event, that Jessica was able to come and we were able to rally the ambassador community and our customers. We all got to show how we're better together, and all of our customers got to meet and hang out and meet Jessica and thank them for bringing their child home. Just a wide variety of things that people told her was just super inspiring and special. What we're doing is so much bigger than what we realize. We all matter. And I just really pray that this fall and this coming spring, we all are able to tap into that and to realize the potential that we have through our voice. So hope you guys continue to have an awesome fall, and thank you so much, Whitney, for letting me share.
Thank you, Brooke. I have reached out to the St. Louis ambassadors who were involved in this meetup, and we're compiling a list of what they did and how it worked for them, and we're going to be posting that to Bloomfire in case you're interested in knowing a little bit more. What an incredible way to use your platform as an ambassador to further empower your communities. I am very inspired. And as you listen to this episode, I hope what you're walking away with and that you've heard loud and clear is how you matter in this work. Your bravery to book shows, to show up scared, to push through insecurities, it is bringing empowerment to women in Ethiopia. Keep it up. We are all cheering you on together. And again, I just want to encourage you, take a moment and share your takeaways from today's episode over on our Facebook wall using the hashtag YouMatter. Let's keep the conversation going until next time. As you interact, we'll drive content, and hopefully I can share your voice on a podcast soon. Thanks for listening in, and we'll talk again soon.